I'm joining you live tonight right here on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. I'm glad to have you aboard here. We got a great message for you. We're starting a brand new series this Monday evening here, and we'll hope everything is well where you are. And we're going to get right into the message just as soon as we tell you that our faith that was once delivered to the saints is alive and well on planet Earth, because we're being changed. We're growing up as calves in the stall. We're taking back what the devil has stolen and what the caterpillar has destroyed. We're going to reclaim it, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because Yahweh gave us a promise that if we would walk upright and serve Him and remain in His service, in other words, the endurance and the trials and the tribulations and the faith that was, it's worth suffering for, it's worth longing for, it's worth fasting for, it's worth praying for. And tonight, we're going to give you a discourse in discipline. And our message tonight is in the formation of discipline. And discipline is something that people need, and we're gonna tell you why. Because discipline is what it takes for you to get the truth into your heart. How to live in discipline in an undisciplined world. Part one, we're gonna do three parts on this. If our mind don't change, and Yahweh will continue our mind frame here as we go along. How to live with discipline in an undisciplined world. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest thing that we've got to fear is fear itself. And we shouldn't fear, because Yahweh is with us, and Yahweh will overcome us, and He'll make us rulers over many things that we were afraid we couldn't conquer. You know, with this one, you know, the most inspirational man that I ever read about was Martin Luther. I read back in the Renaissance, way back when Martin Luther was in his greatest trials against the largest church in the world. I just basically can't comprehend how much fear that he faced, certain death. And yet there was something driving the protesting spirit that he had to be brave enough to stand up against something that he knew wasn't right. And he basically changed the course of history, if you will, concerning faith. And the next man that I admired was my first sergeant. I met him in May. I met him on May the 14th in 1956. I've never forgotten his name. I've never forgotten his face. Although I don't have any pictures of him, I do have these fond memories. And yet, the most terrifying week or two that to get adjusted to the discipline that he had, or he instilled, I didn't know it at the time, his name was Sergeant Duncan. He was a first sergeant. Oh, he was meaner than a junkyard dog. I had never seen anybody so mean and ill-spirited as I thought he was. And then at the end of 8 weeks, when he had remolded me into what I consider to be a United States soldier, and proud to carry my rifle, which I still remember to this day, the serial number on it after all those years, US 5326-7736, that was instilled in me to know my rifle number and to know what I was in the service for. And when I got through the concentration course, you had to concentrate to get through it, crawling through the hot sands of Fort Jackson, South Carolina, 1956, and him standing over you barking orders and telling you how sorry and low down you was. And yeah, I never had nobody talk to me like I he had given me to make me a man. So discipline is what we're going to talk about tonight. We want you to get your Bibles. We're going right into the Bible. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, my son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline, and do not resent when he rebukes you, because Yahweh's discipline is for those he loves, as a father that would delight in his son. Now, what father wouldn't discipline his son, trying to correct him and make a man out of him, just like Sergeant Duncan did me? Listen to this now. Here's the corner man. He comes right back, and this is my first impression of Sergeant Duncan. Proverbs 15:5. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whosoever heeds correction will gain respect. Now, the Bible speaks of three major categories of trouble for the believer. And believe me, there's more, but these are the main categories, and I think everything fits under it. Number one would be discipline. Judgment or rebuke of Yahweh. Now, discipline. That's the first thing that Yahweh taught me. Just like Sergeant Duncan in 1956, he started teaching me discipline. He taught the whole platoon. There was a lot of soldiers in my company. There was about 200 men in the company, and I think only about 150 or so graduated from boot camp, what we call boot camp. It was tough. And he weeded out all those that couldn't handle it. They were either discharged, sent home to mama, or they went to another less demanding company. So I remember standing at parade rest when we got off the bus in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. He came out to meet us. He had his blue scarf on. He had his steel pot helmet on, and he had his whistle. And man, I just cringed every time I heard that whistle. And we stood there for two solid hours at parade rest while he gave us an orientation about what the Army life was all about and how sorry we were and how unfit. And yet he was going to try to turn the mama's boys that had left mama, to turn us into men. And basically, it was the best 2 hours that I ever stood at parade rest. Sometimes you're going to have to stand at parade rest and let Yahweh discipline you. And when he rebukes you, it says, do not despise Yahweh's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. For Yahweh disciplines those he loves. Yahweh's trying to instill in you judgment. And if you can make sound judgment, you see, you wouldn't be worth a thin dime if you had all the discipline in the world and you didn't have no judgment with it. So notice this. Yahweh will put you through a series of tests. He will put you through a series of trials. Because, you know, you think you're the wonder boy when you get come into the kingdom, and you think everything is hunky-dory. You think you're God's gift to mankind. But the trials and the suffering will actually mold you, begin to form something within you called intestinal fortitude. Job chapter 5, verse 17 says, blessed is the man whom Yahweh corrects. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds and he binds up, he injures and his hands also heal. And that's hard to take. I mean, when a father just beats you to where you think you're nonsense your life, and you lay there and you're sobbing and you're in pain, and you've incurred the wrath and the judgment of your father, it's trouble. And so the first order of business is that you go through the test. And Yahweh tests every man, woman, and child. You're constantly tested. You're constantly judged. And the suffering servant, just like Martin Luther, or like Sergeant Sergeant Duncan, I didn't realize that if we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't understand how an idiot could come in at 4 o'clock in the morning when you were sleeping, you know, you were fast asleep, and he blowed the whistle and expected you out to roll call within 3 minutes of the whistle blowing. I just couldn't understand that. Man, it takes me longer than that just to think about it. But we were disciplined when that whistle blowed. You better be standing at parade rest. And you better have your fatigues on. And you better have your cap on right. And you better have all your gear, your rifle especially, US 5326 7736. You better have it standing tall. And when he asks you to present arms, you better have it ready. And see, that's suffering. But I didn't understand that if I got up at 4, he must have got up at 3. That never did dawn on me until I began to respect what he had instilled in me. And he is one of the most influential men in my life of memories today. And I started out hating him, but I wound up loving him. And you're going to hate Yahweh when he brings discipline and judgment and rebuke upon your life. And it's necessary. Hebrews chapter 12. Have you forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, when he says, "My sons, do not make light of Yahweh's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because Yahweh disciplines those he loves." See that? I mean, here's a man who's trying to make a soldier out of me. He got up long before I did. Evidently, he went to bed long after I did, because, you know, you would just get in bed and sound asleep, and he'd come in at 10 o'clock for bed check, or 11 o'clock for bed check. He lived off base. I found out he had a family. I found out a little bit about him. I just thought he's a robot. I just didn't understand how he operated. He was an energized bunny. I mean, he never run down. And I hated him. He just inflicted so much pain and misery in all of our lives. That's why Yahweh, he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Yahweh does. Can you deal with the discipline that it takes to march toward the mark and a high calling? Can you endure hardship that he will invoke on you? That's Yahweh treating you like a son. He don't want you to go out there and be a softy and be a doormat for the devil. He wants you to be a soldier. He wants to get you to where you can, you know, I never will forget when I was issued my rifle. I've been a country boy. A rifle was something that we valued, and once you were presented with your rifle, it was almost like you was accepted. But in the Army, it's a little bit different. You're not accepted until you know what it's for, and that's to kill. And the first thing that they will tell you that rifle for, it's not to carry it around to live dead. It's to kill your enemy. And if you can get this endured hardship and discipline, Yahweh's going to deal with you as a son or as a soldier. He's not afraid to send you out. He wasn't afraid to send David, the little sheep boy. He knew the integrity of David's heart. He knew in the discipline, you know, that David had wrestled with a lion, barehanded, and a bear. I got a friend that's an avid bear hunter, and he knows all the tricks of a bear. They're pretty smart. And they can pull one over on you. So don't let the devil, for the lack of discipline, pull anything over on you. Be a good soldier, and then Yahweh will deal with you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you are not disciplined, then you are an illegitimate child and not a true son. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's what Sergeant Duncan told our group. He said, "Some of you ain't going to make it in here." And I thought he's talking directly to me. Boy, I took that as a challenge. I would stick my chest out, and I would grit my teeth, and I'd curse him under my breath, and I'd say, "I'll prove you wrong." And so, see, he began to instill a new tense desire of discipline to endure the suffering, the you're doing here. So judgment, along with discipline, and the chastisement of Yahweh, which is how he molds you into the soldier that he wants you to be. Now listen to this. Hebrews 12 and 9. Moreover, we have had human fathers who discipline us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But Yahweh disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it seems painful. You know, life just itself, just to get up every morning, just to go to the job. Man, what a drag that was. I worked in public works for over 40 years. I preached the gospel for over 50 years. I did most of that in training when I was working on the job, having to put up with the devil. It was the trials, the tests, the suffering, the temptations, the attack of Satan, but there was a something very wonderful forming. There was a certain amount of discipline that I was learning. Later, it has proven to become a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been disciplined and trained by the Heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost. Yahweh uses discipline as a last resort. Now I know you're gonna. That's gonna sound funny because, you know, just as soon as you get in Yahweh's army, you know, here he comes with a rod of correction. You're gonna fail. You're gonna make mistakes. But Yahweh is doing this. If he wants to take a stick and beat you to death, why would he? He first shows you his love. He shows you an example of how he suffered. I forgot about Sergeant Duncan getting up at 3 o'clock to get me up at 4 o'clock. He might have got up at 2:30. I don't know. I don't think a man ever slept. I think he was a robot. I don't think he had a heart. I think he had a something gizzard. There was no heart in him. I couldn't see any love in him. Everything was hate. Everything was despising us. He cursed us. He would make you get down and give you 50 push-ups, and then if you sort of weakened down and fell on your face, you know, man, I mean, he would get up on top of you and make you push him up and down. I'm telling you, it was awful how that he treated us, and everybody down there hated him. And nobody hated him any worse than I did. But nobody loved him anymore when I got out in the real army to find out what that man had instilled in me. And like I say today, he's one of the men that I admired. And still admire. I still remember his name. I still remember my days that I served under him. And I remember everything that he instilled in me. I have never forgot it. And I'm most appreciative, but it was one of the hardest times in my life. Now listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. But when Yahweh judges us, he disciplines us as his son, that we may not be involved in the general condemnation of the world. Have you ever done that? He wants you to come out of the world. He wants you to be a soldier. He wants you to stand up for righteousness. You know, it grieves me that our family, I'm talking about the family of what we call Christ, is not as disciplined and as ordained. I love men. Man, when I get around real men, you can tell real men. They say what they think, and they think what they say before they say it. They think it out well, what they say. You know, it may be hard, and it may be tough, but when you really chew the fat down and extract all the meaning out of what they do and say, like the Messiah, I mean, he wouldn't ask you to do nothing he ain't already done. He loved you before the foundation of the world, and he gave his life for you while you were still in your sins. Now, how are you going to beat a man like that? I couldn't beat Sergeant Duncan. I don't know whether the man's still alive today. It was 1956, and he was a first sergeant. He'd been in the Army about almost 15 years. So he may be on the other side, but I can still relate to Sergeant Duncan in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, as a man that instilled in me the will to live, the will to survive, and the ability to do so through good judgment. So when Yahweh, when he corrects you, don't be angry. Listen to this from here in Proverbs. This is, I'm reading out of the NIV, but I like to read it out because it really brings it home. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. If you'd mark this in your Bible, blows and wounds cleanse away evil. Now, listen to that. Blows, I mean, somebody's going to beat you and wound you. It'll cleanse the evil. It drives out. And beatings purge the innermost being. In other words, the intestinal fortitude, if you can take the licking and like the advertising about the Timex, it's a cheap watch. But it was, you know, they used to sell, I don't know how many they sell today, but back when in my heyday, the Timex was the real deal. I think it only cost, $5. The man, they had a slogan, it'll take a licking and keep on ticking. That's what Yahweh wants you to do. If you get licked in a battle, remember it's the war that's important. You may lose a battle or two. You may get disciplined, even by your own father, before he trains you to send you out. He's not going to send you out there to let the devil beat up on you and discourage you and wound you and drag you away like a lion that has met you in the way and drag you a dead carcass because you've got no ability to stand or you don't have any wisdom and discernment on how to avoid the lion. Now the Bible says for you to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Most of the time we wanna you know, the thing that we dread or the thing that we hate or fear seems like we are bound to want to get close to it. And let me show you why. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, to prove my point. It's a dreadful thing. King James says a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, let me repeat that. Hebrews 10, 31. It is a fearful or a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What in the world was I doing in Fort Jackson, South Carolina? I volunteered. I was stupid enough to buy into the Army. I could see the advertisement, Uncle Sam needs you, or Uncle Sam wants you, 1956. Man, I couldn't wait to become a career soldier. And the first demon that I ever met that I literally hated was Sergeant Duncan. Man, what a nightmare. You couldn't rest. You couldn't sleep. He was everywhere. He'd catch you goofing off. He'd catch you nodding off. He would discipline you. He'd send you to the KP to do, and I said, well, what is that? That's kitchen police. Well, I volunteered for that the first time. And I found out, you know, after you wash pots and pans and scrub the floor with a toothbrush, you don't volunteer to be kitchen police. I wanted to be, I thought it was some kind of a policeman that was watching the kitchen. I didn't know. But you don't volunteer for anything until you are qualified to serve and know what you're doing. Yahweh says it's a dreadful thing. A dreadful thing. If you're a true soldier, why? Because he'll send you on impossible missions. He'll send you on things that you don't want to do. The things that you once loved, you'll now hate. And the things that you once hated, you'll now love. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a fearful thing. Because Yahweh has a certain way about him. He says, my ways are not your ways. Discipline to his ways. It'll mend you. It'll bend you. You got to be willing to bend and mend. After he beats the living hell out of you, after you are almost destroyed by the enemy, he'll let you right there and get wounded. And most of the time, the wounds come through your friends. Well, he's been through that. He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. See, he's been through that. So he knows what it takes to discipline. Now, when you need counsel, you wouldn't call those that's never served in battle. You wouldn't consult those who had never been tested under trials and tribulations, and the discipline and the tests and the suffering and the attacks of the devil. You want a battle scarred man. I love to see them first sergeants. They had them hash marks. Now these were the stripes down in the lower part of the cuff of their right arm, underneath their stripes upstairs. If they were sergeants, I always admired a first sergeant. We was told to respect him. He was God in the army. I'm telling you, I feared him worse than I feared the captain, and he was nothing but a maniac himself. And after I met the captain of the outfit, I knew where Sergeant Duncan had got all his training. Because this idiot that we call the captain, his name was Captain Nunn. And boy, he was Captain Sum for me. He was mean as a junkyard dog. And I said, man, the higher you go, the worse it gets. And they had the hash marks. Sergeant Duncan had hash marks. I said, I finally had enough nerve one day when he was in full dress. I think it was near the time of our graduation from the 8 weeks of boot camp. I asked him, I said, what is all them things that you got on your arm there? And he held them up, and with a sense of pride, he said, these are the campaigns, my overseas trips, that I've served abroad for the United States of America. Today, I don't find it so glamorous with all of the evil and the intent of the people that are running the system today. But there is a certain sense of camaraderie to your brothers. When you go, the Marines have got a saying, they don't leave none of their dead behind. And the Army would leave you laying there. I mean, it's every man for himself. I mean, it's straight ahead. When my brother came home from the war, told me about General Patton. He was one of the most feared and revered generals in the Army. And my brother told me that he would stand as the lead vehicle. He wouldn't be back in the back like most generals would be in behind the line. General Patton would lead by example. He had two pearl handled pistols, and he got up in his jeep and he'd stand up and he would go towards retreat. Hell was his thing. He wouldn't retreat, and he would outrun his ammunition, and he'd have his soldiers fighting without ammo. He'd say, fix bayonets if they run out of ammo, because the supply system couldn't keep up with him. Gasoline. They would go out and raid German compounds to get their gas and their fuel to drive their trucks. He had a style about him. Yahweh's got a style about him. And listen at it. Revelations chapter 16, verse 7. This is the scripture, and it has a definite meaning to judgment. Yes, Yahweh Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Now, when he feeds you to the hungry lions, and when he sends you out on a mission impossible, when he wants you to get the fuel that the devil stole from you, when he wants you to attack the devil, and you ain't got nothing but a slingshot like David had. My heavens, ladies and gentlemen, David didn't even have any armor. And Yahweh sent this little 16-year-old boy down there to do a man's job simply because he recognized what was in David and what was in the men that were disciplined, had served in the army, and yet old Goliath had every one of them at bay. Nobody would dare fight this 13-6, a giant of a man. And his armor was over 350 pounds. And his spear was like a weaver's beam. The Bible's exaggerating, but man, he was a hoss. And David came down there with a slingshot and took him on and took his head off of his body and raised it up. And from that day, David became a just man with judgment. He could have even killed Saul many times. Matter of fact, he caught him asleep in a cave where he was resting in the cool of the day, took him a little nap because he was chasing David. He was tired. And David and his men slipped up on Saul, and they even snipped a piece of his robe out just ladies and gentlemen, David not only was a mighty soldier, but he had the true and just judgment. And in Revelations 19, 1 and 2, hallelujah, for true and righteous are his judgment. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, don't delude yourself into thinking that you can cheat on God. What a man sows, that he reaps. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, the King James says. Here the NIV says, don't delude yourself into thinking that you can cheat on God. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to earn every stripe, every hash mark you've got, every campaign that you've been through, every battle scar. And that's why that the scriptures teach you to observe the hoary head and to bow and to listen to the knowledge that's behind the hoary heads. Man, when you need counsel, go to your brothers and sisters that have proven themselves to be soldiers, that have been through the campaign, that has integrity. And as it says in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sins find you out. You know, every trained soldier has sinned and come short. You're out there, Johnny come lately, or Johnny come quickly, and you think it's a piece of cake, and you're a one God devil chasing whatever. You're just aching for a breaking. Because when Satan gets through with you, you'll come home moaning, ripped, torn, defeated, disillusioned, discouraged, weeping, tore all to pieces, your nerves. You'll have to get on nerve pills sometimes in life to escape the tests and the trials and the suffering and the temptation when Satan attacks you. Man, you gotta be trained. And Bible said, be sure your sins find you. And you know what your sins will do? They'll proof you. They'll test you. Now, I know that Jacob was an example. You know that the deception that was used by his brothers, there was two things that Jacob realized that was deceiving to him. But he didn't know it at the time. Listen what his brothers, when they sold Joseph into slavery, and when they did this, the Bible says that they took his coat of many colors. Jacob knew this well because he had it special made for Jacob, or for Joseph. And he knew this robe well. That was Joseph's favorite robe. And they killed a goat. Now listen to me here. They killed a goat, and they dipped his robe in goat's blood. So therefore, the coat that was dipped in the blood of a dead goat. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the Bible said? A living dog is better than a dead lion. You can't do nothing in the grave. You bet. If you're going to serve him before you get there, you better serve him now. If you're going to love him, you better love him now. Don't say, well, I know when I get there, I'll tell him I love him. If you ain't serve him here, you ain't going to love him there. If you ain't put on the whole armor here, you're going to be naked and rejected there. Listen, don't let somebody else's clothes and the blood of a goat, a Judas goat in this case. You know, there's a Judas goat around everywhere that you go, in every group that I've ever been in. And they're hard to find. They're hard to flush out. But one thing that a Judas goat will do, they all love money. And you can try a man by the amount of money that he stands to make in a deal. So when money is on the line, you can tell the Judas goats, they'll dip your robe in blood, and it'll be dripping from their hand, just like Judas. He dipped his hands in the lamb's blood. There was not a goat offering there. The managed that lie for 17 years. His heart was broken. He was miserable. He hadn't seen a well day. And his sons, who had invoked all of this shame and pity, was part of the trials and the tribulations and the temptations that old Jacob, bless his heart, that he had to go through. And he says, it'll bring my hoary head down to the grave. But how sweet it was when that disciplined Joseph was found to be growing corn and was a number two man in all of Egypt. And he was one of the wisest men. He was a perfect type of the example. Let us watch, or let us observe these things as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Notice this. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, rebuke your neighbor quickly so that you will not share in his guilt. When the devil wants to involve you in something, when he wants to drag you away from your integrity, you know, a lot of men have integrity, but they can't resist the devil. Because the devil is so cunning and crafty, he'll draw you into the fray. He'll get you wounded. And when you need him, you call on him and see if he'll be there. You'll find out. It says open rebuke in the King James is better than secret love. Proverbs 19:25. Rebuke a wise man and he will gain knowledge. Rebuke a fool and you'll receive a blot. You know, if the verbal rebuke through Sergeant Duncan, I mean, man, he had a mouth on him. You could hear him all over the hill. He didn't need a loudspeaker. He had a set of rules. He never shut up. He never, like I say, he was just an energized bunny. He was going all the time. And yet, when I look back on it, I said, man, I would be half the man as Sergeant Duncan is. When he instilled in me a part of what he had in him, and all he instilled in me was discipline. And to be disciplined and to know how to have judgment and to have mercy. David was a merciful man. He was a man that would kill you. He killed him. He wasn't afraid to kill nobody. But when he recognized that Saul was Yahweh's anointed, he had a chance to kill him and he would have been justified because Saul was trying to kill David. But he had an intestinal fortitude. He had integrity. He had honor. He'd never kill a man and to become dishonorable. And ladies and gentlemen, that means a lot. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. If you want to stay in the fellowship of Yahweh and his soldiers, you stand up and be a man that you can count on, that they can count on you behind their back. When you separate and go out on your journey in life, that you have your intestinal fortitude and your character and your integrity. Let your word be your bond. Stand up. And even if you have to suffer for your word, notice this. It's to correct you. Discipline is to correct you. It has to be acted on. You first got to admit that the rebukes are not pleasant, that the chastisement is not pleasant, and your spirit will confirm and it begin to heal, and you will be a hardened soldier with full of grace and love and integrity. Wouldn't you like to run around with a man like David? Wouldn't you like to have him for a friend? I would have. A man after Yahweh's own heart. Psalms 141, verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me, and I will consider it his kindness. Let him rebuke me. He will become the oil on my head, and my head will not refuse it. Let a righteous man strike me. I mean, Sergeant Duncan or Martin Luther, when I read his life, I was so inspired. I said, Yahweh, make me like Martin Luther. I want the integrity that he had to stand against something he knew was evil and become a soldier, put on the armor to stand against the wild. He used one word. His whole foundation of his faith was based on faith. Faith without which no man can please Yahweh unless he has it. Psalms 141, let a righteous man strike me. You know when the old Benjamite cursed David to his face, called him everything, and his men standing there with their swords ready to cut his head off, and Joab said, sir, all you got to do is to give me the word. I'll cut this Benjamite's head off of his shoulders for cursing you. And David said, let him alone. If a righteous man strike me, David said, I'll receive it as kindness. Let him rebuke me. It'll become oil on my head. See, that's integrity. David could have, his pride could have been left him, said, go ahead and kill him. Luke 17:3. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. That's the law. Luke 17:3. If you don't get nothing out of this message but Luke 17:3, I would like for you to get this. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Proverbs 25:12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold, a wise man's rebuke upon a listening ear, for it is better to open rebuke than secret love. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. I got to close here in a minute. Now, the people complained about their hardships. You know, Israel is the most erring and complaining and undisciplined people. You know, when they called a meeting in the book of Nehemiah, where they had to sit in the rain for 2 days, in the book of Ezra, where they commanded all of the people to put away their strange wives and separate themselves from the heathen nations, and Yahweh caused a rain. Yahweh brought this rain, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I know those men that sit there and it running down their beard, that they were murmurs. They didn't want to be there, no way. They wanted to be back with their strange wives. But when the priest stood before him and said, you've got to separate and get rid of all the strange flesh in this camp, man, I mean, it was a gut-wrenching. I mean, it tore the heart right out of them. And the insult was that Yahweh rained upon them. You know why he rained? It was discipline to see how many would sit there for 2 days. They sat in 2 days' rain just to hear the numbers of those who had transgressed. And every number that was called and read, and the book of the law was given, it said that the righteous observed and said, we will follow Yahweh and we shall separate ourselves from the heathen nations and our strange women. And that's what they done. But did you know that there was brothers and sisters there that murmured and complained and said, well, what's wrong with this? I don't see nothing wrong with it. You see, the earth will receive the complaints. That's what happened. When the earth swallowed up those that were murmuring and complaining against Moses, the Bible said the earth fell right out from under their feet. Watch. Your murmuring and complaining, your sowing discord, is one of the seven things that Yahweh hates. You shouldn't do that. You should walk up and have integrity. Now, listen to this now. The people complained about their hardships in hearing of Yahweh's word. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And then fire from Yahweh burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Numbers 26:10, the one I just quoted, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. And they received it as a warning sign from Yahweh. How many Porsche? I think 3,000. The earth opened up and swallowed them. You say, well, that can't happen today. God don't do nothing like that. Do you remember Sapphire and Ananias? Oh, yeah, they made their covenants and their commitments. They made their vows. And then the going got too tough. They weren't disciplined. You see, if you begin to care more about what you've got than who he is and who your brother is, the whole ideal is serving one another, sharing with one another, giving with one another. You know, I've had the fortune of meeting great men in my ministry that really love. They don't love things. They just use things to accomplish the kingdom principles. They give freely of their tithes and their offerings to broadcast the message around the world. And I have this tremendous responsibility of discipline. I have to sit here day after day and hour after hour waiting, talking on the phone, counseling, trying to give advice that I've got to eat myself. Woe is me if I fail at the little the advice that I give. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be a throwaway. I want to give good, sound advice and tell our people to love one another and to stand up and not look on the things that we argue and fuss about from time to time. But as children, we receive punishment in Acts 5 and 5 through 11. Ananias heard this. He fell down dead. In great fear, seized the whole church around those who heard about this event. 1 Peter chapter 4, I got to close. The time has evidently arrived for God's judgment to begin. And its beginning will start at his own household. And if it starts with us, see, he's got to come into his own house and straighten it up. And then he's got a right to straighten up the rest of the world. What is it if it's going to mean for those who refuse to obey the gospel? Even if the good man is only just saved, what will be the fate of the wicked and the sinner? That's the King James said, if a righteous man scarcely be saved. Man, you're going to get in here scarcely just being righteous. You can't get in being lukewarm. You've got to have discipline. Therefore, those who suffer according to Yahweh's will safely commit their souls to the faithful Creator, and in doing so, they can accomplish that mission set before them to run the race with patience. And as it says in Psalms chapter 23, verse 4, and I read it every once in a while, your rod and your staff comforts me. You know what the rod and staff was? Correction. The rod was for the fool's back. And everyone that he has chastised, he's put the rod to your back. When bad things happen, you've got to stand up and become good, able to stand and able to put on the whole armor. For I'm going to close with this one. In Romans 8:28, for we know that all in all things Yahweh works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose before the foundation of the world. Predestinated with him before the foundation of the world. Yahweh's got a cause for you. There's a lot of Judas goats at your meet. There's a lot of untrained, undisciplined soldiers in the ranks. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get tougher. We're going to have to stand up and be counted like men. We're going to have to quiet ourselves like Sergeant Duncan roared like a lion. And yet, when I got my diploma and I passed the test, I had that sharpshooter's badge. I never was so proud of anything in all my life. When I went out and qualified my rifle, whose number was 5326-7736, I qualified it and become an expert sharpshooter. Man, I hung that on like I'd been in a war campaign. I didn't know what was before me. Ladies and gentlemen, you must train, you must suffer to reign with him. You're going to have to suffer with him. Well, you got my message here tonight. And I love you very much. I'm teaching these things to set the house in order. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they'll be safe? I want you to be safe. I want you to quiet yourself. live like men. Put on the whole armor, and Yahweh will bless you going in, and he'll bless you coming out, and he'll give you the sure mercies of David. He will not let nothing happen to you except for his sake, which would train you, and it would give you the ability to stand up and to be counted for in the day of trouble. Did you know that Yahweh's a strong tower? Well, if you know that, then you got to stand up and be counted like a man or a woman in the army of Yahweh. I'm a soldier. I might not be a first sergeant. I'm just a buck private. But man, I want to earn my stripes and my hash marks. I want to get in the campaign and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Because it ain't for those that turn back. The Romans never wore one bit of armor on their back. All their armor was to their chest as they pressed toward the mark. But when they turned their back, they was open victims for the enemy to kill them because they purposely didn't put any armor on their back. A Roman soldier. I'm a soldier tonight in the army of Yahweh, and I hope you are. And if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and by Brother Paul. If you'd like to call Dr. Gary, his number is in this relationship. It's 1-877-289-7439. We need your help. We're trying to establish a covenant of Yahweh's people that love him, that are bound together with a common thread, which is love. Not to backbite, vilify, or turn in the day of battle. Not to be tempted with things. People are more important. Every heartbeat you've got could be your last. And the man that holds your heartbeat in his hand is a man with a plan. Yahweh bless you. Call for the call, 1-800-253-2748. If you'd like to call Pastor Buddy tonight, I'm live here on a Monday evening on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. And if you would like to write me, I'll send you this series that we got on discipline. If you'd like to know what it takes to make a soldier, and I'm sure you would like to be a soldier. I know I'd like to be one. I'd like to be one that you could count on, and I certainly hope I can count on you for being one. It means much to have honor among the men of Yahweh. Now, if you'd like to write me, you can do this by writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, in Tennessee. And if you would like to know the zip code, it's 37824. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. And my mailing address is Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here because the old clock on the wall is caught up with me. And I love you tonight very much. And Yahweh's richest blessings be to you. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 p.m. live on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Yahweh bless you and I love you.
Alone, you are the Holy One, the Mighty and Exalted One. Purify us with your holy fire. We offer you our lives as a living sacrifice. We come to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. May you be praised, Father, honored, glorified during this time of worship, for we surrender to your sovereign will. Oh, Yahweh, you are Elohim. You are the mighty one, the El of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We thank you, Father, that you are forever faithful. You do exceedingly, abundantly over anything that we could think, ask, or even imagine. Let it be known today that you are Yahweh. Hallelujah.